morning, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press the star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Mike Matson. You may begin, sir.
Thanks, Kathy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Monday, and we're just about to wrap up another strong month of August with some Tivoli sales, and obviously momentum's building for Q4. So I appreciate everybody taking the time to listen to today's topic, which I actually have the distinct pleasure of being able to introduce Gary Budnick, who will be leading the discussion today. In the calendar invite, there's a link to where the presentation is, which is w3.tap.ibm.com/media library. And in it, you'll see a presentation labeled the Communication Service Provider Marketplace. And I'm sure Gary will give you a couple words at the start of his presentation, but this presentation is going to be applicable to more than just the communication service provider space. And Gary and I have gone back many, many years at Tivoli, and I am personally very excited to hear what he has to tell us today in this marketplace that is actually picking up more steam today than I can ever remember seeing in recent years. So I'd like to turn it over to Gary Budnick. Gary leads the Tiger Team for the communication service provider space. And, Gary, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. And as Mike mentioned, we're going to be talking about the communication service provider space today. But for those of you, and I'm sure a lot of you have enterprise accounts too, this is also applicable for those accounts as well, and I'll explain why as we get into the presentation. So if you have the presentation up, I'm going to be referencing some slide numbers as we go through, so you could follow along, but we'll go through it. Let's go to slide number two, and we'll talk about the agenda. So the first thing I'm going to start with real briefly is to give you a little bit of a background on what's happening in the industry and what's really driving a lot of the decision process that we're starting to see from service providers. Then what we're going to go through is go through what we call the service operations solutions. Go through that. We'll talk about how you could actually do an assessment of how these companies do service operations. We'll talk about how they actually can be improved with Tivoli. We'll talk about how they can actually be deployed and what I call the slides of slides. If you go through the deck, you'll see why. And then we're going to talk about some very, very specific calls to action that are going to be driven down to the sales organization. I know we're very, very good talking to the data center side of the house, especially in enterprises. One thing we want to do is give you a comfort level or let you know who is the team to call to actually help you call on the folks that actually run and manage the network, be it a service provider, a managed service provider, outsourcer, or even for a large enterprise that manages their own network. Okay, so let's go to slide three. And this kind of sums it up a little bit about what's going on here. There's so much to manage right now, both from an enterprise perspective and also for a service provider perspective. A lot of things going on in the space. There's things, the growth of smart devices. So, for example, in the utility industry, we're seeing things like smart meters that have to be connected to the infrastructure to be managed. You're seeing smartphones or iPads or all these things that are in the enterprise to be able to access information regardless of where you are. So from that perspective, the other thing that's a driver is we know it was a bad economy recently. Yeah, no doubt. So that's also driving some behavior. So if you see the advent of cloud computing, that's essentially a response to, in a bad economy, I'm going to let somebody else manage this stuff. Why should I build infrastructure when I could have somebody else run it for me? And maybe I can get that cheaper than doing it myself. So cloud computing, outsourcing, hosting, all these things. There's challenges even to the internal IT organizations as far as managing things for their line of business customers. You know, now there's contention for those services. So, you know, a lot of this is going to talk to how to manage and connect all of these things. And the thing that's pervasive to connecting all that is the network. So let's go on to the next slide. And you'll see here from a service provider perspective, you know, basically what this slide is telling us, if you look at the larger circles, that's the larger revenue services. So if you look all the way at the lower left, the public switch telephony network, that's your traditional voice services. That's actually declining rapidly. So that's in a decline stage. When you look all the way over to the right, things like mobile broadband or mobile TV, IPTV and video on demand, all these things are in the high growth rates, but typically, you know, maybe lower revenue services, but they're in high growth. But the thing about it is they're also putting tremendous demands on traditional networks, okay? So basically we're going to see how we respond to that. If you go to the next slide, that's titled Network Transformation. So if we look over on the left side, the upper left, today we've basically seen in service providers, for every type of service that they delivered, there was typically a separate network to manage it, or an infrastructure for that network. So if they were providing voice or providing data services or video, if they were a mobile provider or just doing IP-based services, you see the different technologies, Sonnet, hybrid fiber, coax, all these things were run independently. And that basically drove up the cost of that provider providing services. What we're seeing a lot today is a lot of service providers are doing triple plays or quad plays where they're offering many of these types of things. So if you look over to the right side, the desired state, we're seeing a lot of these things being transformed into a single network, something, you know, IP-based or Ethernet transport. And there's reasons why. Not only is the cost of running it lower, but if you look down in the lower left-hand corner, you know, look at the monthly cost for 100 meg Ethernet is about $50 a month, while using the traditional, you know, DS3 or Sonnet, it's about $180 a month. So the cost is much lower. So basically, whoever's providing the lower cost of service is probably going to win more business. If you look at the lower right-hand side, you can kind of apply it. This is in euros, but traditionally to cellular providers, you see per million subscribers what the cost savings are for backhaul services to move data, it's about 40% less. So what we're seeing from service providers, a lot of them are changing their networks, you know, driving from the traditional model to more of a single unified network to carry all these types of services. So if you go to the next slide, which is slide 6, you know, traditionally what we've seen with a network operations center is they were responsible for just, you know, monitoring the network, and if there was a problem, how quickly can they respond to that problem and fix it. So this slide has a build, so if you click on the next, click on the button, there's a build to it. We're starting to see network operations centers evolve into what's called a service operations center. And the reason why is from a service perspective, instead of just running the network and looking at faults and things in the network, they really have to have a view of how the service is performing. You know, what is the customer experience? How do I evolve the network to manage new partners that may be providing content to my customers? So a lot of this is centered on reducing churn. You know, churn is basically the subscribers, you know, going to another provider, or to generate additional revenue. If I could provide additional services, or I can guarantee a higher level of service, I could charge more money. So that's kind of what we're seeing as the evolution, going from traditional network operations to managing things from a service perspective. Okay? So let's go to slide number 7. There's another opportunity just to point out, and that's basically that the government is providing what's called stimulus funds for people to build out broadband networks in urban and rural areas. So the National Telecom and Information Administration is, you know, paying co- cooperatives and providers all across the country to build out broadband. Why? They want every consumer in the country to be able to access information equally. It's almost like going back, 60, 70 years ago when they were just building out the telephony network. If you lived all the way up on a mountain somewhere, you should still be able to get telephone service so you can communicate. So the government has a heavy focus on broadband. Broadband determines how fast and how much content you could actually manage from a consumer perspective. So they're putting money into the system to build out broadband networks all over the country so everyone could get access to information. Okay? And that money is basically going to pay for operational support systems or things that we sell in terms of net cool and things to manage the network. So if you go to the next slide, slide 8, some of you may have seen this slide before, but it points out a key fact. And one is, traditionally, we've been very, very good at calling on the data center or the IT organization. And typically, the IT organization, even though they have a critical role within the organization, I'm sure a lot of you have seen they're in cost-cutting mode. They're trying to manage OPEX and CAPEX very tightly. They may play a critical role in terms of enabling the enterprise, but in the service provider space, you'll see it's only about 4% of their OPEX is spent on IT, where if you look at the network, everything from network operations, customer care against the network, or even just, the network infrastructure itself, about 80% of that organization's OPEX or CAPEX is spent on the network. Why? Because the network generates revenue. The network differentiates them in the market. So typically you'll see deals to carriers or service providers become a little bit larger, probably a little less contention as far as, versus selling to IT where they're trying to cut cost and comparing you against every bit of shareware or everything else that's out there. But the deals typically to the service providers, if it's attached to the network and tied to generating revenue, will be larger and probably less contention as far as budget. So now we're going to get into what we call, if you go to the next slide here, what we call the value of our service operation solutions. Essentially what we've done here, and I give a lot of credit to Mike Brown, who's also part of the Tiger team, is we've mapped a lot of the solutions to what's called the Telemanagement Forum Business Process Framework. And you're going, okay, what is that? Basically what the framework is, you should all be familiar with IDLE. We've all been instructed to be IDLE Foundation certified. IDLE for the IT industry is all the process models for how IT should operate. Essentially what they've done is taken IDLE and the Enhanced Telecom Operations Model, or ETOM, which has been very popular in the telecom industry, you kind of merge that together. So the Telemanagement Forum has renamed it the Business Process Framework. So if we go to the next slide, you basically see on slide 10, key components of this Business Process Framework are in the lower right. Now, there's really three major parts of this. So, number one, you see that strategy, infrastructure, and product part of that map, and that's really about how they generate, developing the product that they're going to offer. The second part, which is highlighted, is operations, and we'll talk more about that. The third part down in the lower part of that graphic is enterprise management, which is about planning and risk, financial management, the personnel aspects of the process model. But basically what we've done, we pulled out the operations area. And if you click on it, there is a build here. The area where Tivoli really focuses in on is the operations support and readiness, fulfillment, and assurance. Now, one thing I want you to take note of, and we specifically color-coded these areas for a reason. You're going to see these colors become pervasive throughout the rest of the presentation when we talk about fulfillment and we talk about assurance or operation support and readiness. And essentially what these are, you know, you can see end-to-end processes as far as CRM or service management operations, but we're going to focus in on the ones that go vertically, you know, fulfillment and assurance and operation support and readiness. So if you go to the next slide, which is slide number 12, essentially what you see here is, picture this, if you start all the way at the top where it says order and service request handling, okay, this graphic goes, think of it as counterclockwise. So if you go start with order, service, request, and handling, work down the fulfillment area, and then cut across and then work up the assurance area, that's kind of how things flow. Now, the advantage of this is this not only applies to telecom services for communication service providers, this also applies to if someone is going to do, for example, cloud computing or any other type of service, if you think about it. Because, number one, it starts out with a service request, you know, from a customer perspective. Then you look down at the service, and it goes down, and I'm going to select a service from a service catalog. I'm going to configure and plan on activating that service. There's a change management process, and that affects, you know, data that's collected and stored in a CMDB. There's assets that are tied to that, where you could actually look at it from a financial perspective, is what is this going to cost me? Those assets then need to be configured and provisioned, and basically going all the way down to, you're pushing that information down to the data sources. Now, that gives you, if you look at the green part of this fulfillment area, that's basically what we call as planned. So when a customer makes a request and you go and fulfill that request and provision it, that should tell you how that service and all those things, all the resources that make up that service, should be planned to deliver that service to that customer. Now, in reality, things change. Things change in the networks. Things change in the infrastructure. So a lot of times you have to look at the as-built part of the equation. So are things actually built or running in the infrastructure based on what I had planned them to do? And typically the answer is no. So if you look at the assurance part of it there and work your way up, basically it's how we collect things from those resources. How do we look at it from an impact analysis standpoint? How do we determine how we do problem management against those resources? How do we look at how those resources make up the service and what's the impact on the service? You know, how do we manage quality against those services? And then if you go all the way up to the top, back at that customer relationship area, it's how do we determine the quality of the service to particular customers? Are we violating service level agreements? Do we owe people money based on violating those agreements? And then basically, how do we take that information and put it back into the fulfillment process so we could actually do things like sign up to specific SLAs based on what we're able to do? So this is that service operation solution. You know, basically, these are all the process flows. So if we go and click on the next slide, the thing we have to ask ourselves, and from a sales perspective, and something that you could do, or if you call on people on the Tiger team, or some of the resources we'll talk at the end of this presentation that you can call on, we have ways of assessing how our customers are doing what we call service operations. So if we go to slide number 14, basically we see that you know, on the right side, that fulfillment and assurance process is kind of a loop. And you'll see those different areas kind of going across this cycle. What we did is we came up with some questions that basically map to, you know, each one of these different areas. And these are very simple things that you could ask your customer, or when we sit down with them and kind of ask these questions, it kind of exposes how they're actually doing things. So what we're going to do is just go through a few of these. If you go through to slide number 14, we're basically going to go through, you know, some of these questions and see which areas are actually touched on by Tivoli Solutions. So on slide number 16, if you go to 16, number one is, how do you extend your management system to accommodate new and growing services. So you could see the different areas of the fulfillment area that are affected in terms of the processes. You could see the functions that are actually serviced here, as far as there's a service catalog, there's a change in config management issue. It would be a CMDB kind of focus area. There's an asset management area, which, we have the Maximo asset management products to go against. You're looking at the change in configuration manager, basically the acquisition from IntelliDen, as far as how we provision things to the resources in the infrastructure, both from a network perspective as well as from an IT perspective, because we also do provisioning, as you probably know, with Tivoli Provisioning Manager for servers and applications. Okay? So based on this question, you could see some of the things in terms of the processes that get touched on and some of the solutions that we would present against how they would do it if they used Tivoli for those solutions. So if you go to slide number 17, here's another area. So, and this is common, both in the data center as well as in the network. So up to 80% of the incidents are a result of changes. How do you actually manage change? So from a change in configuration management perspective, you're all familiar with the CMDB. So there's also the IntelliDen perspective and provisioning manager as far as how we actually manage change to resources. So those are the things that get touched on. So slide number 18, how do you know the money you spend on hardware maintenance is correct? This is typically low-hanging fruit for where they could find savings. And you typically look at things as far as, the CMDB or asset management, as far as identifying which things are actually used in the infrastructure, IT&M or TATM. So it kind of maps what's actually used against what they own. And if it's underutilized, there's opportunities to do things like virtualization or to actually take things out of service so they don't have to pay maintenance on it. So if you go to slide 19, here's another area, how are you actually optimizing the performance of your network? And this is kind of a performance management equation. So we touch on things like Tivoli NetCool Performance Manager, TNPM, for wireless or wireline. Once again, the change in config management database and the provisioning process. So these are the things that would be touched on as far as identifying performance. If you go to the next slide, number 20, it's how do you tell what's actually consuming your network? And this is an area that we could help them with in terms of NetCool Performance Flow Analyzer. This is the product that was built by IBM out of our Zurich labs and does things like manage NetFlow or JFlow. And basically what it tells you is somewhere on my network I see, there's specific amount of network utilization being consumed. What are the applications or what are the things that users are doing that's consuming a large part of my network and how do I manage those? So that helps identify those areas so you could do things like capacity planning. Slide number 21, how do you see all of your events in a common format and a single pane of glass? And this, for those of you familiar with Omnibus, NetCool Omnibus, and WebTop, how to view all the events. And actually, you could take it to a higher level, as you're probably familiar with Business Service Manager. So how do I take all those events and then view it against a business service to see how the service is performing? So those are the products that we'd be touched on here. Slide number 22, if you go to question number 7, how do you pinpoint root cause of an outage in real time? It touches in on, IT&M, Omnibus, Business Service Manager, right up to Service Request Manager. So you could see the things that would be applicable to that area. Now, slide 23, you see, how do you determine the business impact of an event? Well, for those of you familiar with NetCool and impact, these are the things where you could actually, enrich an event, it's called. So instead of it just being some innocuous event that comes through on a console, it could actually be enriched with real data from the customer environment that a specific customer is impacted, or what's the time that you have to resolve it before you violate an SLA. So for service providers, that's pretty critical, because if you have multiple events that come in, which are the ones that are higher priorities that I have to service first? Which ones have a higher impact? So you could see some of the things that would be involved there. Slide 24, how do you understand a particular customer's experience within a multi-customer business? Well, we're seeing customer experience management and things around monitoring SLAs and quality of service become highlighted there. So that's TNS QMC, or Service Quality Management Center, which includes customer experience management, would be part of that equation. And finally, you know, can you do all these with a single integrated vendor? So essentially what we're seeing a lot of customers wanting to do is, there's always been the best of breed solution approach, and then trying to integrate it together. Well, what we've done, even if you go to the next slide in slide 26, you could see there's a lot of best of breed solutions here that we've acquired from, you know, MRO, from Micromuse and Candle and Think Dynamics, and a number of things we've done with our acquisitions. And part of the focus is, you know, getting the common data models or getting the integration points where we could actually integrate these together to provide one solution set. So we would challenge any of our competition, you know, to come up with all these solutions across all these different processes and have the integration points available like we have. And when we get into some of these discussions with our customers, this becomes really important. So,
you know, Gary, I think as I look at the presentation you're delivering, I mean, it really resonates with me personally, because you can, as you said at the outset, take this set of charts and use it as a framework to have literally thousands of discussions with customers, right? You started, I think it was slide 14 or 16 with, you know, how do you, as an IT provider, offer new services to the customers? Then how do you fulfill those services? And amongst all of this, how are you dealing with change, and can you prove it? And then once you've offered the services and you get your arms around change, how do you optimize it and get more proactive around management? And how do you impact, you know, do an impact assessment on if something goes wrong, who's going to be affected? And then really taking it from the back words, looking into IT, the customer user experience. And boy, what a great life cycle that you've painted here. And I mean, literally, you can talk to any customer, any industry, about dealing with change and complexity. And I applaud you. I think this is very, very clear so far.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. I mean, if you really think about it, it's almost like, you know, we've all been whiteboard certified. This is another way of, you know, questioning the account based on an industry standard process model. So, you know, the telemanagement forum and the business process framework, some of them should be familiar with it, ETOM or IDLE. You know, not everybody adopts it, but at the end of the day, it kind of maps to the processes that almost every customer should be following at some point in time as far as how they take an order, fulfill it, and actually do service assurance against it. So when we actually present it, I've done probably a half a dozen to a dozen of these to customers and even to senior managers, it actually resonates really well, because they kind of look at it from a perspective, and we could actually, just like whiteboarding, identify opportunities that are, you know, they figure they're not strong in, that they need to improve on. And basically you could tell us, all right, you may have certain things that you're running in these areas, but let's focus on, you know, this part of the service assurance area. Let's focus on service impact. You know, you may use a half a dozen products to, you know, pull data from all the resources, but let's take it to a higher level. So it does open up a conversation, you know, with the customer, and actually helps us really identify, you know, specific opportunities. The other thing that it really does is presents the big picture of what IBM could do. You know, a lot of us only, when we talk to the network, they're only familiar with maybe one or two products out of the NetCool portfolio. They're not familiar that we can do the CMDB part. They're not familiar with what we do on the IT side, even though they know that IT and network operations, you know, are kind of merging together or working more closely depending on the organization. So it really helps present the big picture of almost everything that we can offer to help, you know, with this, you know, the customer-focused area of the business. So if we go forward here, now this is kind of what I call the slide of slides, and it'll look very busy. If you go to slide number 28, you know, you can look at it as fun with PowerPoint or whatever here, but essentially if you look at the areas, it's still color-coded, you know, based on what we talked about in the beginning. So everything involved with, you know, the service assurance or the assurance area is still pink. The fulfillment, the fulfillment area, you know, still being the same color. We basically map different color areas based on what's going on, you know, in this picture here. So, you know, performance data will all be the same color. That's on the lower right. You know, pulling faults out of the network and sending it to, you know, NetCool for event management and correlation. When we put this slide up in front of a customer, even though it looks, you know, crazy busy, and from a sales perspective, I would not expect anybody to really be able to explain it. But when we put this slide in front of a customer, it actually makes a hell of a lot of sense, especially if they're already using some part of the NetCool portfolio. It really talks how everything comes together, how everything flows together, and basically from a just from a process perspective, kind of maps out everything. The next slide, if you go to slide number 28, I'm sorry, slide number 29, all that does is put the products in the boxes. So, you know, slide 28, we'll talk about the functions. Slide 29 are the specific components that Tivoli has to offer. And even when we put this slide up in front of a customer, we can talk about, okay, what are you doing in this area? You know, what products do you utilize, you know, to do, you know, something, you know, performance. And then let's say they have other products. Let's say they use InfoVista or SolarWinds. Okay, yes or no, may not be an opportunity. Let's go focus on, you know, how you're pulling information out of the network. Or let's talk about the big picture as far as how you're pulling all this stuff together. Because like I said, there was always a best-of-breed approach where the customer has to integrate everything together. What we want to present is, you know, we're experienced with the big picture. We could help you with this. Okay, we have all the products in the portfolio. Okay? So hopefully that helps a little bit as far as painting the big picture. Now, if we go to, you know, slide 30 just basically summarizes, you know, how we went through all those different questions here, but we'll move past that. Slide 31, now, the thing we could also talk to and something we're actually very proud of is that in most of these areas, you're going to see we are actually ranked number one in the industry or, you know, as high as you could possibly get in terms of the ratings for Magic Quadrants from Gartner or Analysis Mason, the company that really focuses in on the area called service assurance. They had a publication called OSS Observer for operational support systems and ranked us number one across these categories for service assurance, for fault, for performance, for service management, a lot of these things evolving. So, you know, we can go into any customer and basically talk about what we're doing in any of these areas and be able to reference a bunch of case studies that talk about how people are actually either saving money or improving the value of their business and how they're handling their customers. So some good you know, commentary as far as how we're ranked and rated. Secondly, if you go to the next slide here, as I mentioned, there's a lot of case studies we can pull from, a lot of customers, a lot of carriers currently using it, a lot of network equipment providers that are currently OEMing our solutions that we could talk to, which basically gives us more funding to do R&D against our products. There's actually a great story to tell. So let's go to the call to action, and then we'll leave some time open for, you know, some Q&A. So if you go to slide 33, okay, there's some specific things that we're going to ask you to do from a sales perspective. And number one is, just look at your customer base. You know, look at the customers you're calling on, be it you know, general business, the investment, or even core accounts. So the first thing you got to ask yourself in terms of how they're organized, one, do they manage their own network? Because if they outsource it, okay, may not present opportunity. But if they do manage their own network, and their network is pretty critical to them as far as delivering services to their lines of businesses, or if they're a service provider, a communication service provider, you know, generating revenue off of that network becomes even more critical. So look at your customer base, kind of identify which ones may be an opportunity. The second call to action is based on what you know about your customers. Here's one thing we're actually really excited about setting up with you is a network-specific deal clinic to help you identify and manage what are the real opportunities. And with this, we can help you look at what are the competitive takeouts, because typically you're not going to find a white space. Customers doing something and using some products. So we could help you identify which ones are the real competitive takeouts. Based on what the customer is doing, you know, are they experiencing some level of growth or delivering some new services? Are they, you know, deploying voice over IP if they're an enterprise? I mean, there's a large package delivery service here in New Jersey that is actually overhauling their whole network and, you know, deploying all new, you know, Cisco switches and routers, and all that stuff has to be managed. They're also deploying, you know, voice over IP. So this is an enterprise, you know, with a national, if not a global network, that could actually utilize a lot of things we're talking about here. So they don't necessarily have to be just a communication service provider. So if they place a very high value on their network and are deploying new services, you know, there's areas that we could identify to help you go after that business. The other thing we could help you do is identify the right partners to assist you. You know, we've got some partners that can take these things end-to-end. There are, as I said, equipment providers that OEM some of our solutions. You know, so based on what the customer is actually deploying, there's ways of leveraging that. So we could help you identify the right areas. Secondly, we could also map the appropriate case studies for you to reference when we go in and talk to that customer. So if they're a wireless provider, you know, if they're building a cloud, a public or private cloud, you know, we could talk to some of those areas. If they're into wireline services, depending on what they're deploying, you know, IPTV or Metro Ethernet or any of these things that we don't expect you to know a hell of a lot about, but you know, we could actually help you based on what they're actually doing, because chances are they're going to have to do some new things. You know, on the wireless side, you've all heard the advertisements from the Verizons or the AT&Ts. You know, we've got the fastest 3G network. Oh, but we're going to 4G. Well, what does that mean? You know, typically 4G is looking at WiMAX or LTE, which stands for long-term evolution. All that means is they're deploying different equipment in their network to deliver some new types of services. And at the end of the day, if they're doing that, that stuff needs to be managed, and that service needs to be managed so that they could better service their customers. We've actually had some service providers we've worked with that have failed miserably in deploying some, you know, new services like voice over IP to their customers that when they look back at it, you know, needed something like service quality management or a better way of looking at the quality of that service, because once they get it out there and it's deemed to be, you know, poor quality, you know, the customers tend to go elsewhere. So they don't have a lot of opportunity to reintroduce new services. So the net of it is we can help you. There's people to call on. If you look at the next part of it there, there are some things that we do for customers to actually identify opportunities, customer workshops to really assess the business value or how do they get real ROI out of this stuff? You know, if they have to deploy something within a year, or typically they'll have their own ROI models, the hurdle rates, and things that they have to meet to make it, you know, worth spending money on. So we could help you with those. There's actually assessments now for even cloud workshops to help people determine whether that has value to them, or what are the appropriate applications that they actually want to host in a cloud so they could provide that to their line of business customers or to external customers. So the net-net of it is we can help you. There's people to help you. All you got to do is get a good understanding of your customer account, which ones manage their own network, and then let's dive into which ones we could help you with. So there's a call to action number two if you go to slide number 34. Many of you have probably received some emails that we've generated based on our evaluation of the customer base for Tivoli or the pipeline for Tivoli. So there's a couple of things. If you go to all the way to the bottom, the IntelliDent seeding opportunity, you know, there's some specific incentives for selling IntelliDent. That's our recent acquisition, and it's now called the NetCool Change in Configuration Manager, because we have to put an acronym on it, of course. So the seeding opportunity basically looked at the pipeline of everywhere we're selling NetCool and said there's ways that you could actually be incented to sell IntelliDent based on attaching it to those NetCool opportunities. Now, I know I've spoken to a few dozen people about that already, and we're actually providing some additional value for helping close Q3 business or positioning things for Q4. If you look at the other plays, basically what we did is we mined the account base based on what customers actually own. So if you look at it, for example, if a customer owns IT&M, or what used to be called Precision from Micromuse, the network manager, they're a perfect prospect to go in and sell IntelliDent to, because if they're using our software to manage the network, they could basically use IntelliDent to do, you know, change in configuration management against the network. So you see a number of these plays. We look at, you know, who are all the NetCool customers? Well, what are they doing for performance management? All right? If you're looking at Omnibus accounts, you know, there's a lot of Omnibus customers that are not using Network Manager. So what are they using? Are they doing anything? So there's an opportunity to sell them network management. There's also a number of folks, particularly in the enterprise, that have tech today, the Tivoli Enterprise Console. Basically, what we want to do them is show them the value of NetCool Omnibus. And there is specifically a tech to Omnibus play that gives them financial incentives to migrate from tech to Omnibus. I've actually been personally involved in a couple of those to get those moving. You know, tech is going end of life. They have to do something. So let's introduce them to Omnibus and show them how that could actually help their business. Omnibus, you know, why aren't we selling Omnibus to everyone that owns IT&M? Or, I'm sorry, ITM or ITCAM, for example. You know, chances are they using tech today? Well, if not, then what are they doing to consolidate all those events coming from monitoring? You know, let's look at Omnibus. So you can see there's a number of plays just based on the customers that already own some part of our portfolio. This should be low-hanging fruit. You know, we haven't even identified competitors to go after yet. This is just our own installed base to go after. We have all this in you know, a spreadsheet, and we called it TOPS. Basically the telecom, you know, opportunity progression system, but we've actually identified it for every enterprise that owns, you know, these technologies. So we could tell you which ones in your account base actually own which products and which ones should be ideal to go after. And like I said, over the past couple of days, you probably have received an automated email identifying that your account actually has one of these products and you have an opportunity to sell them something else. You know, we have probably sent thousands of emails out to generate that interest level and to work with you to help go focus on these opportunities. Okay? So let's go to slide 35, because we've talked about who are the people that can actually help. So we mentioned the Tiger Team, and Pete Cornelius runs it worldwide. A lot of you are familiar with Pete. He was actually very, very active with the HP takeout, or the Crush HP program, but he focuses in on the communication service provider space worldwide. Chip Chambers is focused on the network technical sales area. So if we look at the folks know, there's myself, there's a number of folks here that actually know the service provider business very well. And also on the Tiger team, Chris Backer has a number of folks reporting to him that focus in on the IT service management side. So if they're talking about cloud-based opportunities, there's folks that could actually help you there as well. Now, also under Jeff Henderson, who has the above region technical sales team of people that understand the network exceptionally well, under Jeff, there's a number of folks that actually could help with these opportunities as well. In one other area, under Bill Wallace, Bill actually manages the team that sells to the network equipment providers. So if you're wondering if Cisco is in your account, there's a whole team or a group of people focused on Cisco that can tell you our relationship with Cisco, what things of ours do they sell, you know, how you could actually get compensated for things working directly with Cisco when they sell CIC, which is actually NetCool. So a number of areas to focus in on. And then we have a number of marketing programs that we run, certain events that we support, you know, the telemanagement forum events we've actually worked very closely on. There's the Pulse Comes to You. In fact, there was a whole telecom specific track in the Pulse that Comes to You, one that just happened out in Australia, where we had guest speakers focusing specifically on telecom. So there's a whole number of areas around marketing that we could focus in on as far as event-driven kind of prospecting that we could help with. So if you look at the next slide, these are just some of the folks I mentioned on Jeff Henderson's team. If you're just looking at the names, there are also key business partners. I said a lot of them are legacy Micromuse business partners between Alcatel-Lucent, which bought ReachView, Generation E Technologies, or Gen E, and Softential, that could basically take some of these opportunities end-to-end if you work with them in your accounts. There's also a number of resources in the IMTs in the East. You see a number of folks here and in the West that are also very network-savvy, technical specialists that know this space very, very well. Lastly, on slide 37, there's some examples of business value that we've delivered to customers. There's actually an ROI white paper that's been written by IDC that talks about the cost savings that we've delivered to customers that use NetCool. So I'm not going to go into these specific savings areas. We could basically talk offline. And I said a lot of these will be mapped to your specific customer scenario, whether it's wireline or wireless, or whether a hosting provider or looking to build cloud-based services. We could basically map the appropriate customer to the opportunity. But at the end of the day, there's been some very, very significant cost savings or OPEX reduction or the ability to help them generate new revenue-generating services for some of these providers based on using our technology. So that's the end of the presentation. We're on slide 38. I know Chris had asked me to specifically reference that there is a tactic code to reference based on this prospecting series here. So that tactic code you'll see on the last page. But essentially what I'd like to do now, Kathy, if you are on,
okay,
open it up for some Q&A and be happy to spend the last 10 minutes of the call kind of talking through how we could specifically help you.
All right. Thank you. At this time, we are ready to begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star 1 and record your name. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Once again, press star 1 and record your name if you have a question. One moment, please.
You know, it's interesting. So if there are questions queuing up, you know, if I take a look at this slide on 37, you know, this is what I would call, you know, your IT hero slide, right? If you go to the bottom middle, you know, on T-Mobile, right, if you could reduce the number of events coming into the console by a factor of 100, would you feel like a hero? And so many of our customers, regardless of industry, I mean, that's what they struggle with, right? It's not, and Gary and I were around back at the early days, and it would be a feature function battle, right? Well, how many events an hour can Tivoli handle? And it was, oh, okay, we can do 2,000 events a minute. And BMC would say, oh, I can do 3,000 events per minute. You know what? This environment is too complex and challenging these days. If you're asking how many events an hour are coming in the console, you're dealing with the wrong problem, right? What you should be asking is, how do I reduce what's coming into the environment by a factor of 100 or a factor of 1,000? And it's amazing to see how we've turned from, okay, what's the speeds and feeds to, how the heck are you going to make my life easier? And every one of these bullets is about, you know what, if I could reduce fault investigation time by 50% and spend 25 minutes on average on a fault, would you feel like a hero? What if you could reduce the amount of time it takes to manage the network by 80%? Would you feel like a hero? If you could achieve, 100% availability with only 5 people, how would you feel? What if you could, triple the number of services you're offering your customers with the existing infrastructure? Right, these are very impactful and resonating, statements to make. And you know what? All of our customers would kill to have any one of these base hits. Kathy, I'm sorry, Gary.
No, I was saying it's a great, great point, Mike. Because, and actually, one of the things we always talk about, how does IT support the business, or how do they work more closely together? At the end of the day, based on the number of customers I've talked to, just their ability to be able to sign up to a service level, to some degree, is a guessing game. If you could actually provide real specific information as to how quickly they could identify, a problem and how quickly they could respond to that, they could more effectively sign up to service levels with customers and be able to respond accordingly. The better they can do that, that differentiates them against their competition. So basically, whoever, is willing to, put more into a contract to assure the service for their customer is basically going to win that business. It's not just going to be a pricing kind of proposal.
Exactly.
So that helps.
Hey, Kathy, any questions come in?
No, there are no questions at this time, sir.
Well, Gary, I would like to thank you. I learned a lot. I thought your build around delivering services and fulfillment and assurance was particularly insightful, and I will personally use those slides, meeting with customers over coming weeks. So, again, everybody, appreciate you making the time. There's a lot in here. If you can, internalize the message and then, position with your customers on how we provide value, that tactic code's important because that's how we determine whether or not these plays are worthwhile. And, for all of you guys, happy hunting, and I appreciate you making the time. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, thank you.